Talking Points, the loverugbyleague.com podcast with Dave Parkinson. Episode 6. Hello and welcome to episode 6 of Talking Points, the loverugbyleague.com podcast. I'm Dave Parkinson, and this time out, we've got all the reaction from the John Clark testimonial. We'll be hearing from Wigan boss Michael Maguire and Warrington counterpart Tony Smith. We'll also have more from the launch event of the Northern Rail Cup. I'll also be introducing new Talking Points podcaster Simon Reynolds, finding out a bit more about him, his thoughts on a couple of stories in the game, and his involvement with an amateur club. If you have any comments about the podcast, please leave them on the loverugbyleague.com forum or tweet me on Twitter @DParkyRL. Before we go any further, I'd like to update everyone on the first round of the Northern Rail Cup. Now, action began on Friday the 4th of February when Halifax rolled into the Willows to take on Swinton, while Featherstone hosted Doncaster. In the Fax-Swinton game, it took a try in the last couple of minutes by former Sheffield forward Sam Barlow to clinch victory for Halifax, who'll be hoping to mount a serious challenge for this trophy for the very first time. Halifax made a much brighter start against their Championship 1 opponents and scored two tries in the first 8 minutes by James Haley and Paul White. Lee Patterson added one goal to open up a 10-0 lead, but Fax soon found themselves on the back foot when Swinton 2010 top scorer Rob Foxon opened his account for the new season. When Dean Thompson was simbing for Swinton after 21 minutes, Halifax then took advantage. Rob Warrington grabbed the visitors' third try, but Swinton responded strongly with two tries in the last 3 minutes of the half by new signings Mark Smith and Thompson, who'd returned from the sin bin. Both were goaled by Gavin Dodd, and the Lions led 16-14 at half-time. It took 15 minutes for Halifax to reply, and Patterson scored the first of two tries and kicked his second goal. Once more, Swinton responded brightly, and when Neil Holland scored after 61 minutes, Dodd put over his third goal to make it 22-20 to Swinton with 19 minutes remaining. Patterson then got over for his brace 5 minutes later before Swinton lay siege to the Halifax line. Sadly for the hosts, Ian Mort saw a try disallowed, and they were playing their first competitive game as the home team at the Willows for 70 years, and they couldn't come up with the eventual line breaker, and Barlow's late heroics spurred Fax blushes and ensured a 28-22 win. In the second game of that evening, Tony Butterfield gave Championship 1 Doncaster a super start at the Big Fellas Stadium, and the Dons led 4-0 after 2 minutes. Featherstone Rovers' superiority began to show midway through the first quarter, and by the time the 20th minute was on board, Featherstone had turned a deficit into a 12-point advantage. Andy Kane scored the first of two tries after 14 minutes, and he was soon followed over the line by Tony Tunks and Sam Smeaton. Liam Finn, the orchestrator of so many of Rovers' plays in 2010, popped up for his first try of the season after 34 minutes, and with the scrum half also landing 3 goals, Rovers led 22-4 at half-time. Things went from bad to worse for Doncaster when young hooker Kyle Keswick was sent off after 39 minutes, while teammates Chris Spur and Rovers' Tim Spears were also sin-binned in the same incident. Three Rovers tries in the first 7 minutes of the second half by Smeaton, Ian Hardman and Kane ended the game as a contest, and when Tommy Saxton went over on the hour, Featherstone led by 40-4. Former Dewsbury hooker Mike Emmett then scored Doncaster's second try of the night, with fellow new signing Scott Spavin goaling to put the visitors into double figures. This proved brief respite, and when Andrew Bostock and Zach Hardacre scored, Finn brought up the 50-point mark with his fifth goal. There was still time for the lively Smeaton to claim his first hat-trick of the season, as Rovers finished convincing winners by 54-10. Another Northern Rail Cup game to tell you about came on Saturday, the 5th of February, when Toulouse won their very first Northern Rail Cup game with a high-scoring 40-38 victory over spirited Dewsbury Rams in the south of France. Toulouse Olympique were well served by new halfback signing Josh Lewis, who scored a try and kicked 6 goals on debut, while other scorers came from Telly Pello, Bruce Armino, who got 2, and Eric Anselma, who also scored 2 tries. The result was in the balance right until the end of the game, when hooker Craig Cook picked up where he left off at Sheffield last year with the final try. The talented number 9 registered 19 tries with the Eagles last term and could prove an inspired signing for the French club over the course of the season. Dewsbury, well, they scored tries themselves through Luke Menzies, Scott Turner and James Lockwood, while both Austin Buchanan and James Craven claimed 2 tries apiece. The Rams trailed 22-16 at half-time, but Dominic Brambani's 5-goal haul kept them in touch before Cook popped up at the end. Now, the other results to tell you about from the Northern Rail Cup, all these from Sunday the 6th of February 2011. Barrow 24, York 20, Gateshead 20, Sheffield 32, Keighley Cougars 24, Rochdale Hornets 6, London Scholars 18, Widnes Vikings 62, and Oldham 28, Hunslet 22. And the game between Whitehaven and Workington was postponed, and Lee took on Batley Bulldogs in Yorkshire at Mount Pleasant. And that's where we're going now, as I caught up with Simon Reynolds. LoveRugbyLeague.com for all your rugby league needs. Hello and welcome. Currently, I'm live, or recording live, I should say, here at Mount Pleasant for the start of the Northern Rail Cup. I'm joined by a bit of a special guest who's going to be getting involved with the podcasts over the next few weeks. It's Simon Reynolds. And first of all, Simon, just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, my name's Simon, as you say. I'm currently involved in the amateur game, more than the professional game, and in a playing and coaching role down at Lee East, the NCL current champions. Currently coaching the under-15s at the club and playing for the third team, which is an ever-growing team at Lee East. Currently in North West Counties Division 6, running third. And yeah, the team that I coach, joint top of the league, third, 3 games to go, and looking good and pressing for the title.
Would you say that the setup at Lee East is replicated at a lot of other amateur clubs around the North West?
Yeah, with them being not only NCL champions but European champions as well, they're setting the benchmark for clubs to follow. And when you go to different amateur clubs, you always seem to see stuff going on at that club that started at Lee East maybe 5-6 years ago.
We must get this ahead. You already know from listening to my sort of rants before on this here podcast that I'm a Lee fan, and I'm pleased to announce that Simon here is also a Lee fan.
Yeah, I think it started when I was young, just helping a mate out ball boying. And like most people know, when you get involved in rugby league, it's the hardest game to get out of, because you just make so many friends and then you just progress and get more involved in your club, like I did. And anyway, I'm today doing a bit more for the sport of rugby league.
So we're at the start of the Northern Rail Cup competition, the very start of the 2011 campaign. First of all, I suppose your thoughts, obviously you watch it avidly as a fan, as well as being able to perhaps assess it as a coach and whatever. But your thoughts ahead of this season, what are you expecting perhaps from the two teams that are here today at Mount Pleasant, Lee Centurions and Batley?
Whenever you come to Mount Pleasant, it's always going to be tough. But the Northern Rail Cup is now a competition that most teams want to be involved in as long as possible, and if not, get into the final, as did Batley last year, and went on to win it, even though they weren't running favourites or even second favourites at the time. And it was just a good day for Batley as a club, and they enjoyed that as well. But yeah, the cup competition, like I say, is just one competition that everyone wants to be involved in, and it also gives the chance for Cooperative 1 teams to be involved in the high level of the sport as well.
Well, I mean, we saw it last year with Batley. It really was a dream come true. The first time that they won a cup competition in, I believe, 86 years. So it just shows that teams like Batley, and there's going to be a few others who are kicking off games as we record this afternoon, who will have one eye on perhaps turning out at Blackpool in a couple of months' time.
Just going off Friday night's game as well with Swinton and Halifax.
Did you actually see that one?
I didn't know, but the reviews I got from the game is that it weren't as plain sailing for Halifax as people thought it would have been beforehand, and Swinton, by the scoreline, Swinton really give a good show for themselves.
Of course, Swinton's recruited very well for the season, haven't they? They've got a lot of players who have that higher level experience. I'm thinking of your likes of Mike Morrison, of course, came from Lee Centurions. Mark Smith was a cracking signing for them, wasn't he?
Yeah, Mark Smith, I feel, would still make a good account of himself in the Championship, but he's chosen Swinton, or maybe Swinton's chosen him to become a player that they see that can give them a better chance in pushing for the Championship One title this year, maybe. But yeah, like Swinton, like you said, they've recruited well, and hopefully that they can go well.
And again, thinking no side has ever actually retained this trophy. We're sat here at Mount Pleasant, where a couple of spectators are starting to drift in. I've seen a couple of lads waving banners about and flags, and it's a real windy day here. You might be able to hear it rattling in the background. But do you think that they're capable of being able to retain their trophy? There's going to be some teams who are coming up against who they'll fancy the chances, won't they?
Yeah, like when you win the league, you then become the team to beat in that competition, and Batley are the holders, and they have the right to every game that they play here in the Northern Rail Cup, say that this is our trophy and we want to retain it, and people are going to come here and not take them for granted like in previous years.
And also as well, Batley have quite a settled squad this year, don't they? They've kept a hold of a lot of the players who served them so well in 2010.
Yeah, most teams are now settling down and are now planning for progression in 2 or 3 years instead of just buying the odd player to come in and do a job in the next couple of months. They're now planning for the future and getting young kids in to see the club through for the next 10 years.
Big stories that have been happening in rugby league very, very recently. I was reading something the other day which said about nearly 120 players have been drug tested in rugby league. I wanted to ask you, with your involvement in the amateur game, is this something that also gets done in the amateur arms of the sport, or is there plans to include it, or what happens?
It's not so much in the amateur game. I heard there was talks of it coming in, but that was the last I heard of it. But yeah, I don't think there's enough drugs testing going on in the pro game or semi-pro game. I think that they should have, at the beginning of every season, everyone tested, and then you cut it out, because everyone knows that at the beginning of every season that everyone's going to be drug free, and then that'll follow on throughout the season with random drug tests that they already do. But in the amateur game, I think they should involve it, because sometimes you get the odd player that does have the off the field antics that they want to keep going, and it sometimes spoils the game.
And so, let's get this sort of like out there. We're completely against drugs and the use of them, aren't we, in the sport?
Yeah, very much so. Never taken a drug in my life, never want to, and I don't see what people get the enjoyment out of it. But it's every individual's choice, and some people get pressured into it and some people don't.
Okay, and as well, this competition, the Northern Rail Cup, it's got underway now. We're a couple of games into the competition. Also on Friday night, Featherstone Rovers, they defeated Doncaster by 54 points to 10. Doncaster took an early lead in that one, Tony Butterworth scoring the first try. But then I believe that, led by Sam Smeaton, who ended up with a hat-trick, Featherstone came back and did a really professional job. Was that expected, do you think?
I suppose that Featherstone had gone to that game wanting to get a good start to their campaign, and I think Doncaster, they would have had a clean bill of health and gone there thinking, yeah, let's make a good start ourselves, and I think that would have been the opening couple of scores from Doncaster that gave them that lead. They would have been at full strength and really gone for it, and then Featherstone really just would have been settling into their game, and they would have come good towards the end, where Doncaster would have tired, I think.
So Simon, how much of a blow is it for Featherstone to lose Kyle Briggs at such a late stage in the pre-season, really?
Yeah, I think at Featherstone, they would have been building their team around Kyle this year, and to lose him to Bradford, it's good for the player, good for Featherstone, for their progression in getting players up to higher standard, but I think that they would have built their season around Kyle this year, and most of the pre-season had gone into where he needs to be on the field and where Featherstone need to be, really. But yeah, I think they'll have someone in the wings waiting to step up and take that position, and no doubt some young kid will get the chance and make a name for himself.
And certainly Featherstone and Halifax in particular, they'll be hoping to get the names on this trophy, won't they, the Northern Rail Cup, because to be fair, although they've done reasonably well in it, they've perhaps not done as well as has been expected.
Yeah, with last year's Grand Final showing that it was a great game, and both teams wanted to win the Grand Final, and no doubt they'll want to progress and try and get into another final, which is the first one that they've got a choice in, is the Northern Rail Cup.
Any big stories that you've been keeping your eye on in Rugby League?
No, not really. Pre-season's always quiet. There's a couple of signings gone here and there. But
what do you make of some of the signings that have taken part then?
Who
do you think's got the bargain signing of the close season in that case?
I'm unsure about the bargain signings, but you normally see the likes of Wigan Warriors signing three Melbourne players, I think it is. And I think that they're going to be the team to beat this year, as people well know, that they're very strong, and they've got a few young and upping kids there that they've tied down on long deals. It's going to be tough for anyone to beat the Wigan Warriors this year. And it hurts me to say, but as a Lee fan, but Wigan are going good at the moment, and this could be a start of a long run of trophies again for Wigan.
Another dynasty perhaps emerging.
Yeah, I think it could be going back to the Sean Edwards era and the Andy Gregory era even, where they just they're the team to beat and the name on the trophy and most points in the season.
Now, Kevin Sinfield at Leeds, he's already come out and said it's not going to be as easy for Wigan to get it this time. Do you think so?
Like I said before, in the Northern Rail Cup, they become the team to beat, and everyone goes there as the grand final, and they want to make an impression and get the victory. And if they can, five or six teams can just pull off that victory against Wigan, then there could be upsets on the cards.
So we'll have a few words with Michael Maguire in just a while. I caught up with him after the game against Warrington, which they played before the start of Millennium Magic. But as we're recording this ahead of the Millennium Magic, who do you think's going to get off to a good start to the Super League season in that case?
There's a couple of really tough games in there. Wigan play Saints, Leeds play Bradford. I'm just glad that they've got back to the derby games there, because it gives the fans something to have real pride about of. And with it being on the start of the season, everyone wants to get off to a good start, and I think having it on the first weekend, no teams have got injuries or they should be near enough full strength, so it's going to be some entertaining rugby league.
So are you for this whole event and big start to the season? Do you think it's a good thing for rugby league, this?
Yeah, I think it's one way of getting all the fans together, filling a big stadium, which is down there in Cardiff, and people make a weekend of it, teams make a weekend of it, and just getting everyone together makes rugby league more enjoyable and family friendly.
Do you think it would be something which the national leagues or the championship leagues or whatever we're going to be called from next season, do you think it's something that we could consider perhaps?
I would hope so, the championship league, get involved in and maybe, apart from the Nines tournament that goes on at Blackpool.
Well, that's been canned for this year, but right. We've not heard what's going to be replacing it yet. The Rugby League did say a couple of weeks ago that they might be running a series of Nines events, but we've yet to hear something on that at time of recording.
Yes, like you said, that's no more, so maybe introduce it towards the end of the season where they get all the teams, in not a massive stadium like Cardiff, but maybe somewhere similar to like Blackpool, where it's got a central meeting point for maybe everyone, or somewhere maybe Wrexham, maybe, I don't know.
We'll be hearing more from Simon over the coming weeks, but here now is Michael Maguire with his comments after the Warrington game.
Come and talk Rugby League in our forums, loverugbyleague.com.
Yeah, there was a lot of pleasing signs there. We've worked extremely hard over the last couple of months, and there's signs that the things that we've been practicing are coming off. There were areas in the game there we can definitely improve on. It got a little bit scratchy there in that last 20 minutes. Both teams sort of lost a fair bit of completions in their sets and made it a bit of a scrappy ending. But from a trial point of view, I thought there's a lot for myself to go away and have a look at, and it's going to give me a good headache over the next week to work out the best way we go into our first game. There's a few for next week that I need to check up on, Gleese, Dewey Fielden. So I've got a few there that I can still make some decisions on. But, from tonight's performance, everyone got through really well. Oh, look, we've got a couple of days training, and then over the weekend they'll have a break. And then when we come back in on Monday, it's ready to go and full on to what we're about to face. I think the refs themselves are finding their feet on what they're trying to do with the ruck, and you know, coaches, we've got to go away now and make sure we know exactly where they're going with the ruck itself. So I think you know, both myself and Danny will go away and assess where the refs are at, and over the last couple of days they've had a few other games, so you know, I think the refs are sorting themselves in that area, and you know, we need to make sure we're ready for that in that first week.
That was Michael Maguire. Let's now hear from Warrington boss Tony Smith.
I still think we're out there chasing Wigan. You know, they were a little bit quicker in some areas than us and a little bit faster, and I was really impressed with their goal line defence. You know, I think they set a standard there that, you know, we would like to have as well. They were hard to crack. We had a few opportunities or a few chances to break them in the first half in particular. And we didn't, and they held on, and all credit to them. And that's, you know, we've got to get a bit more of that about us. I was pleased. We got no injuries, and we needed a good, strong, competitive hit out. And that's our only one, really. No disrespect to the, you know, Widnes and Lee, but that was a good, hard, tough game, and I thought reasonable game. Probably fell away a little bit in the second half, a few errors, but pretty good standard of game for this time of the year. I can't say who's going to come in what position, but you know, they're a good team. They were the best team last year. You know, we're still there chasing them at the moment on today's performance, but fortunately, you know, there's no points on offer today, and you know, I'm sure there's improvement in Wigan as well, but I think there's a lot of improvement in us. I dare to say that I don't think there was a player on our team that could say they were near their best form. You know, if that was the case, I'd be a worried man. But you know, the fact that, you know, a lot of our guys, and we're off. You know, when you're in a game and don't kick the ball out twice from penalties, that's a, you know, usually a fair indication that you're a little bit off. We're a little bit off there tonight. It's far from being, you know, at our wit's end about our performance. We needed that hit out. We needed to step up in opposition standard, and we got that. So we're excited about what's ahead.
And here's the man himself, John Clark.
Some areas were pretty good. I was just brush up on a few things, and you know, in training next week, and we'll be stronger again against Huddersfield.
Nice to get a try at the end, John.
Oh yeah, just caps a nice day off, doesn't it? But I'd have swapped it for a win, I think. To be fair to Wigan, I thought they were pretty strong for most of the game. I think we had a few little lapses, whereas I don't think they did. I couldn't have asked for any more on a Wednesday night. I think the Liverpool playing as well, so I couldn't. Very, very grateful to everyone who's stuck their hand in the pocket on a Wednesday night to come to not just support me as well, but you know, to support the team. You know, 6,000 nearly on a Wednesday night is phenomenal effort. So couldn't ask for any more.
LoveRugbyLeague.com for all your rugby league needs. Just for clarity, in that game, the John Clark testimonial finished Warrington Wolves 18, Wigan Warriors 24. Now Wigan, they took an early advantage with a try from Sam Tompkins after 6 minutes. After he went over the line, Liam Farrell scored after 28 minutes, and a conversion each from Paul Deacon and Sam Tompkins made it 12-0 to the Warriors. Warrington, they hit back just before half-time with a try from Lee Breer's gold by Brett Hodgson, but they had to wait another 27 minutes before they got on the scoreboard, and in that time there were tries from Thomas Lulai and Chris Tewson, which made it 24-6. And Warrington, they hit back with two late tries from Reece Williams and John Clark, one converted by Brett Hodgson and one converted by Ben Westwood. But it wasn't enough, and Wigan go into the season ahead of the game against St Helens in pretty good form. A few days ago, myself, James and Adrian, we were off down at the Northern Rail Cup launch, and sadly in our last podcast we couldn't bring you all of the interviews which we did on the day. So here's the best of the rest. First of all, James talks with Rochdale assistant coach Chris Huff.
How are things going down then at Hornets with you and Stankoop there then?
Yeah, going really well, mate. Obviously a bit different from last year because we brought all the squad in. You know, I think John had one player when we first went in last year, and we've managed to keep like 80-90% of the squad from last year. So, you know, we've been able to do our programmes, weights programmes at the start of the season and everything, and all the lads have stuck onto that, and we brought a few younger kids in, and we've had a few trialists from local amateur clubs, which is good, you know, because it's promoting rugby in Rochdale, and it's been really good. Yeah, it's going well.
Do you think keeping a similar squad from last season will help you in the new season? Obviously, you've seen with Featherstone in the Championship, won the Championship, like the regular season last season, having kept the bulk of their squad from the previous season. Is that something that maybe is on the back, of your mind?
Yeah, I think what you've got to do is the lads who played last year played really well, so, you know, you've got to reward them with a contract, and obviously the game plan hasn't changed any, you know, much different, so the players already adapt to that straight away. They all know that the lads, you know, we're a close-knit team, and, you know, we've got a lot of good friends there, and, you know, we're all good mates, and that, I think that bonds really well.
Yeah. I mean, it's been well publicised through John himself about the payment structure at Rochdale, you know, the match payments and things like that. Do you think that's part of buying your success, the fact that works better than maybe the contract payment situation?
Yeah, definitely. You know, everybody's on match money, you know, there's no contracts paid, everyone's on the same, and I think that's good, you know, because, you know, because sometimes some players get in this where he's on more money than me, and, you know, and it's in our club it doesn't happen like that, so, you know, we all get on well, we all know what we're doing. If you from a coaching point of view, with me and John, if, you know, lads, if they don't play, they don't get paid. So in training, it makes it real competitive, because they've got to, if they're not doing it, not getting in on the Sunday, they've got to train well, because if they don't train well, then they won't get recognised for the game. So, which is, you know, it's really good structure what we've got.
Yeah. I mean, do you think that's the sort of thing that should be replicated throughout the Championship One division? I mean, we've seen a few clubs with financial difficulties in recent years. Do you think that'd maybe put an end to that?
Yeah, I think you've seen it in clubs where they've pushed in the National One, and then, you know, they've tried going up into Championships and struggled, like with Keighley, you know, they went into administration, and you know, really they should be playing in that division, but obviously the 9 points deduction didn't help them. And I think, you know, if it had more structure like that, it'd just keep it, you know, keep it nice, you know, nice and simple. But, you know, clubs try to bust the gut to get up there, and it's hard to keep up to that financial stance. Yeah. You know,
I mean, going back onto the pitch for next season, what targets have the Hornets set for the campaign?
At the moment, we're just, you know, we're looking at the range, you know, we're looking at performances, you know, we just want to perform, and, you know, like anyone, and playing myself, we just want to put performance in and make sure you get that shirt week in, week out. But in the league, we're just, you know, playoffs, and you never know, we're top three hopefully, and, you know, kick on from there.
Yeah, I mean, another record, you've got a big game at Widnes, I think, in your four. I mean, that was a bit of a drop here.
Well, no, to be honest, it's a great draw. I know John wanted it because obviously it's his own town, and we've got quite a lot of Widnes lads, and so, no, we'll go there as the underdogs, and just, you know, hopefully we'll put a performance together, and who knows, you know, just go and enjoy it, enjoy the day out, you know, because there's always a good crowd there, and for, like I said, for John, it's, you know, it's a great day for him, and you've got like Phil Ward and people like that are all from Widnes, and Liam McGovern, and, you know, you've got Scott Yates, who's come this year, and Matt Strong, they've come from Widnes, and Dane Donny, I think we've got like about 7 or 8 players from Widnes, which is, you know, great for them to go back and to show how they've progressed in the career.
Yeah. Thanks, Chris.
Cheers,
much
mate. Thank you very
have
much.
Have a good season.
I then caught up with Barrow's number 6, Jamie Rooney. Joined by Jamie Rooney here at the Northern Rail Cup launch, and your thoughts ahead of the season, particularly for Barrow, Jamie?
Yeah, looking forward to it. We had a bit of a up and down season last year, and especially in this competition, we want to do well this year. And it's, obviously, competition's getting tougher and tougher, and like I say, we're training hard now, pre-season, and hopefully start the Northern Rail with a good few wins and push it on to quarter-finals.
Barrow's one of the sides which has had quite a number of pre-season friendlies. How do you think things have gone so far?
Yeah, lads have started to gel. Obviously, we've got a few new faces in key positions, like Mark Gleeson and dummy half, and we've been going really well. Obviously, we had a bit of a blip against Wigan under-21s at weekend, but we've got some quality players in that side, which I'm sure they're going to be stars at future. But yeah, we're looking well. Training's been going pretty well. Obviously, Martin Clawson, Schofield and Nigel Wright, and it's looking good. We just can't wait to get started now.
Is that good from a personal point of view to have like a legend of the game, if you like, or a modern legend in Gary Schofield passing on his experience?
Yeah, he's got some different ideas, and obviously it's going to take time for us to get those ideas, but like I say, it's different, and So we're excited about working with him, and like I say, obviously we play the same position as me. Hopefully I can help my game as well.
He's mentioned already that Barrow are going to play an attacking style of rugby this year. Do you think that's, well, obviously for yourself, yes, that's going to be a good point of view, isn't it?
Yeah, it's music to us ears, really, especially those that don't like defending like myself. But yeah, it's good. I mean, everything, like I say, different training, different way we want to play, and it's going to take a bit of time for us to get that off on field, but I'm sure we'll get it at the start of the season. Like I say, hopefully we can kick on and have a good year this year.
You already mentioned it, but the Northern Rail Cup, I suppose, in the previous couple of years where Barrow have been so successful at championship level, they've flattered to deceive a little bit when it's come round to the knockout stages of this competition. Yeah. Do you think that this particular Barrow squad can go all the way?
Yeah, we obviously it's one of us... goals this year. We want to do well in this competition, and not just to get through first phase. We want to get to the final and win it, because we haven't won it since inside this club. And like I say, it's one of those goals this year to get there and win it. And like I say, it's another final, it's another trophy for Barrow, and we don't want to miss the opportunity of getting silverware at the club.
I've got to ask you. You know, you're sort of heading towards this stage of players' careers where players lose years, shall we say, you know, yeah. So you get you're sort of 29, 30, and all of a sudden you're 27, 28 again. Yeah. Have you any designs on going into coaching when you're playing days? Have you thought about that sort of thing for afterwards?
Not at this moment in time. It's not something I'm looking to. I'm just concentrating on playing rugby and helping Gary as much as I can, really. And if the opportunity does come along when it arrives, then I'll take it. But at this moment in time, I'm just looking forward to playing. I'll keep my career going as long as I can, really.
Sorry for prematurely retiring you there, then. Sorry about that.
No, we play well on 40.
Thank you very much for your time.
And here's Featherstone skipper Stuart Dickens telling me all about what he's expecting from the Featherstone Rovers this year.
Joined by Stuart Dickens, Featherstone Rovers, and your thoughts ahead of the new season, Stuart?
Obviously looking forward to it. Northern Rail Cup's first competition that's starting. We feel we've got quite a lot to prove in that competition from last year. We didn't start the season too well, so we're just looking forward to getting back started again now.
I spoke to you probably at this similar sort of stage last year, and you were saying about Featherstone Rovers progressing, and that's certainly what they did last year, getting to right through to the final. And I'm not going to rub it in at all. I'm not going to mention that final otherwise.
So we didn't start the season too well as we went along. Probably the getting kicked out of the Northern Rail Cup early were a kick up backside for us. Probably ground us a little bit, and it gave us a massive incentive, massive motivation to work even harder than we have been doing and to kick on a bit. And this season, obviously we've got a lot to build on with what we did last season, but we want to try and start the season well. So his main goal at the minute is obviously to try and hit the ground running these first couple of games, try and qualify. Obviously we know it's not going to be easy. We've got a really, really tough group. So Doncaster and York to start with, then Barrow and Widnes. We know to qualify we're going to have to try and win three of them games. So we know it's not going to be easy, but you know we're ready for the challenge.
Those are big early tests as well, aren't they? Barrow and Widnes.
Yeah, they're both teams with two new coaches as well. So obviously Gary Schofield, Dennis Betts coming back into the game, there'll probably be quite a bit of publicity around them and what they're going to do, how they're going to play. So it'll be interesting to go up against them and see how they're going to play against us.
I think Featherstone's actually coped quite well, because they managed to sort of almost come in under the radar last year, which I was very surprised about, considering that for, 90% of the league campaign, top of the tree, no major problems.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the year before we got to two semi-finals as well, which weren't consistent enough the year before. Last year we sort of put that right, we're consistent over the year, then obviously fell down in the big game at the end of the year. Hopefully we can learn from that experience and try and kick on from that and go a step further this year.
Would you like to see more people talking about Featherstone Rovers?
I'm not bothered, to be honest. So if they are, all well and good. If they're not, then you know that's up to them. We're not bothered, as long as we go on the field and do our job every week. That's the most important thing.
So I suppose keeping under the radar a little bit like last year would suit you fine, would it?
Yeah, it would. But I mean, realistically, that's probably not going to happen, because obviously we were pretty good last year. We only lost a couple of games in the league. But I mean, at the end of the day, you look back and Batley were the Northern Rail Cup champions and Halifax were the grand final winners. So, you know, possibly teams won't look at us as the champions, which we were last year. But it's something we'll be looking to try and put right this year. We'll be looking to try and win something.
A couple of new players who have come in over the course of the close season. Who's impressed you most so far?
All of them, to be honest. They're all looking really good. Obviously, the likes of Brim Powell and Andrew Bostock have been around a little bit longer. We've got a young kid called Greg Worthington, who's coming from Huddersfield. He's really impressed me. He looks really good. He can play a number of positions. And Dominic D, young front row from Old Care, played really well last week. So we're expecting big things of him.
There's a bit of bit of pressure on you then in the middle of that field.
Yeah, there is. We've got six front rowers this year, so really? it's added competition. Yeah, you know, we've got to play well every week. Obviously, last year we probably struggled a bit in that area. One of your Morrison hurt his knee, left us with three front rowers for the rest of the year. So I probably played a little bit more game time than what I possibly might have done. Obviously, we're down on numbers and had to do it last year. Hopefully, this year it'll not come. So we've got a bit more depth. So yeah, there'll be plenty of competition there for us.
So plenty of players who can also slot into other positions, I notice, as well. Very versatile as well.
Yeah, that's it. We're probably down a few numbers on what we had last year, but I think the quality is probably a bit more. I say we've got a number of players who can cover a number of positions, so which helps keep the pressure on everybody, knowing that there's somebody there ready to take your shirt if you're not performing.
You've lost sort of Briggs over this last couple of weeks. Has that been a blow, or really, with the likes of Andy Kane being able to step into the position, have you not really noticed much difference?
It's obviously a blow losing one of your pivotal players so close to the season. But Andy Kane is a natural half-back, and he's slotted in there, played really, really well at the weekend. I mean, no disrespect to Kyle, but at the weekend you probably didn't even notice he weren't there because we played so well. But like I said, that's not taking nothing away from Kyle. He's an outstanding player, and I'm glad he's got the opportunity. And Bradford, I'm sure he'll make the most of that opportunity.
I was going to come on to that Leeds game because that was perhaps a surprising result, but, you know, fair play to your boys.
Yeah, we played well. It's been a bit funny, really, in the press. There's been a bit of things about how we beat Leeds under-20 side. I don't know how much under-20s Lee Smith and Ryan Hall and Luke Burgess and them type of people have played over the last couple of years. But I don't know, we're nowhere near the strongest side, but we're obviously a side what they felt were more than capable of winning game. So to play so well, we're quite pleasing. We just need to obviously kick on from there now, take confidence from it and take that form into his first couple of games of the Northern Rail Cup.
Well, there was a good 10 or 12 first-team players in that team as well, weren't there?
Yeah, there were. Yeah, like I said, there's quite a few that had a lot of first-team experience. There were some internationals, some grand final winners, and I think Lee Smith's a Launceston Trophy winner as well. So, yeah, there were some really good players inside, so they were pleasing to win it and win so convincingly as well.
And your thoughts about the Northern Rail Cup? Obviously, you'll be hoping for further progression in the competition.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, we're disappointing last year to lose so early on and so disappointingly as well. We didn't play well. So obviously his first target is going to be to try and get out of the group stages, which is not going to be easy. Like I said before, we've got some real tough games coming up, but we're quietly confident that if we perform well, then the results will follow.
Come and talk rugby league in our forums, loverugbyleague.com.
Back here at Batley, and Lee Centurions have made the best possible start to their Northern Rail Cup campaign with a 5-try victory over last season's winners at a breezy Mount Pleasant. You can probably still hear it in the background. It's still a bit breezy. The Bulldogs made things tough from the outset, but Lee's pack soon got the upper hand and began to dominate. Experienced Robbie Hunter-Paul got the scoreboard ticking after 7 minutes when a short pass saw Tommy Goulden sail over. Stunned, Gareth Moore put the kick-off out of the ground and Lee pressured the Bulldogs, and their defence cracked a second time when former Bulldogs player Mick Govin moved down the right and slick distribution found dual contract man Tom Armstrong for the centre to open his try-scoring account with Lee. Mick nanning gold for a 10-0 advantage, and 6 minutes later, that Govin-Armstrong combination were to treat again, with the latter twisting through a tackle to ground his second try. Lee continued to create chances, but didn't make the best of them, as a combination of solid defence, wrong decisions and occasional drop passes kept the Bulldogs in the game. Early in the second half, Batley made a contest when Moore's tricky grubber kick behind the defence saw Alex Brown get there ahead of Steve Maiden for 4 points. Although the Bulldogs created further opportunities, Lee's defence held firm. With the game poised at 14-4, Paul Mennell saw red, literally, with a high tackle, and within a minute, looping passes from John Duffy and Jamie Ellis found Stuart Donlan, and the fullback shrugged off a tackler to score Lee's fourth try. A high tackle from Nanning on Mark Toohey saw the Centurions temporarily reduced to 12 men after 65 minutes, and the Bulldogs had a Sean Hesketh try disallowed. Stuart Littler also had a try wiped out for Lee before Hunter Paul came up with the unexpected from dummy half after 77 minutes, totally bamboozling four players with a devastating try-scoring run. Nanning completed the score with his second goal to ensure the winning start, while Chris Hill, Steve Nash, Ricky Byerby and new signing Dave Mills all impressed for the Centurions. For the Bulldogs, it's a case of back to the drawing board, perhaps. But they were well served by Byron Smith, especially in the front row. He toiled away all afternoon, but it finished. A convincing victory for Lee Centurions on a ground which they haven't had the best of records. They won it by 24 points to 4. Sadly, that's just about all that we've got time for on this edition of Talking Points, the LoveRugbyLeague.com podcast. But please join myself, Dave Parkinson, and I'll be back very soon.